Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Let us now hear the words of the Gospel of Matthew.
The Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus and his disciples had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophets, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Here ends the gospel.
The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Almighty God, for the acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. On this day, he entered this holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed as King of Kings by those who spread their garments and branches of palm along his way. Let these branches be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns in glory with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Thank you.
Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and also share in his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let me stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me, who will declare me guilty. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm in unison. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly. For my life is wasted with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails me because of affliction, and my bones are consumed. I have become a reproach for all my enemies, and even to my neighbors, a dismay to those of my acquaintance. When they see me in the street, they avoid me. I am forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I'm as useless as a broken pot. For I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life. But as for me, I have trusted in you, O Lord. I have said, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face to shine upon your servant, and in your loving kindness, save me.
Thank you.
Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me."
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want."
Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter,
"So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, for the flesh is weak."
Again he went away for the second time and prayed,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want."
And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
While he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now the betrayer, giving them a sign, saying, and at once they came up to Jesus and said, and he kissed him. And Jesus said to him,
"Friend, do what you are here to do."
Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword and drew it and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
"Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?"
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day, I sat in the temple, teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who have arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whom the house and scribes and elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat down with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council was looking for false testimony against Jesus, so they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, the high priest stood up and said, but Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, Jesus said to him,
"You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, they answered, then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, but he denied it before all of them, saying, and when he came out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, again he denied it with an oath. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, that he began to curse and sworn on an oath. At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said.
Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times.
And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and hand him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said, but they said, throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priest, taking pieces of silver, said, after conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called a field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken to the prophet Jeremiah. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of one whom a price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price, and they gave them to the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, Jesus said,
you say so.
But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him,
do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?
But he gave no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to releasing a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them,
whom do you want me to release for you? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who called the Messiah?
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him,
have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of the dream about him.
Now the chief priests and elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governors again said to them,
which of the two do you want me to release you?
And they said,
Barabbas.
Pilate said to them,
then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?
All of them said,
let him be crucified.
Then he asked,
why, what evil has he done?
But they shouted all the more,
let him be
So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather than a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hand before the crowd, saying, Then the people as a whole answered, So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocking him, saying, They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon that compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means a place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. You are the Son of God, come down from the cross.
In that same way, the chief priests also, along with scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying,
He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross now.
The bandits who crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. About 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice,
Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?
That is,
my God, why have you forsaken me?
When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, And at once one of them ran and got a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the city and appeared to many. Now when a centurion with those with him who was keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said,
Truly this man is God's son.
Many women also were there, looking out from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and provided him for him. Among them was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother and the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Christ. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. Then they rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Pilate said to them,
"You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it a security."
So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Last weekend, I went to preach at a church in Richmond, Virginia, in order to promote my new book. St. Stephen's Church is located in a historic neighborhood of Richmond. It's a huge church. It makes us look tiny. They have 6 services on Sunday. The congregation is very bright, hardworking, and intelligent. I led workshops on Saturday and preached and taught on Sunday. They asked marvelous questions and responded with enthusiasm. The azaleas were in full bloom. It was beautiful. And yet, something was missing. I missed you. I missed being here with you. I missed the cathedral. Being in the urban core is messy. Just a few days ago, I encountered a man who I see fairly regularly. He's schizophrenic, and I don't think he hardly ever showers. He smells terrible, and he always wants to give me a hug. Every time I see him, he tells me that he has 2 or 3 days to live. He's been telling me this for 1.5 years. And he desperately needs money so that he can go from Jacksonville to Gainesville on a bus. Being in the urban core is messy. So, why are you here? Why do we come here to a place where there's homeless everywhere asking you for money? The buildings, many of them are abandoned. There's no Starbucks. Part of the reason I became dean was because this cathedral was in the urban core. And at the time, I don't think I could have told you why. Maybe it was because I grew up in an urban core. I grew up in inner city New Haven, Connecticut, where there was a gang war going on. I remember distinctly a woman being raped across the street from my house when I was a little girl, and my father I don't know why he did this, but he took a baseball bat and ran out into the street. That was really dumb. I remember in third grade getting chased by a homeless man in my playground at school. So why do I want to come back? Why do I keep coming back? Why do you keep coming back? Today we remember how Jesus publicly and intentionally rode a donkey into the urban core to die. It would have been so much easier for him to play it safe and stay in the Galilee, walking around in the countryside. He knew that if he came into the city, he was going to suffer and die. He knew this. And in the beautiful passion narrative that we heard, Jesus gets quieter and quieter as the city rains down upon him to do its terrible work. He came to the city to die. I think that there are different kinds of love. There is romantic love, which is wonderful while it lasts. There is love of life, when we relish a good meal or buy a beautiful home or enjoy art or music. And then there is this hardcore kind of love that propels certain people to go to places where there's suffering and try to serve God there. I think about Mother Teresa. That's hardcore love that would propel a human being to Calcutta to work with the poorest of the poor. That's love at the core. When you think about it, throughout the Old Testament, God has really despised cities. God first created Adam and Eve to live in a garden, not a city. But then when they fell, the first thing that happens after Cain murders his brother Abel, the first thing that Cain does is to build a city. And that city is seen as the hotbed of sin and debauchery. And from that moment on, throughout the Old Testament, it seems that God hates the city. Think about Babel and how they had to build that big tower. God hated that. Or Sodom. God wanted to wipe that city off the face of the earth. That's how bad it was. But then Jesus came. And Jesus changed how we think of the city. Jesus did not hate Jerusalem. He loved it. Remember how he sat on a hill outside the city, and looking out over it, he cried. Remember how he walked into the city, knowing that it was going to hurt and that he was going to die? The cross can only be found in the city. The cross made the city where it's at. In fact, In the final book of the Bible, there is a vision of heaven itself. And is heaven a garden? What is heaven? It's a city. Heaven is a redeemed city where God reigns and where there is streets of gold. Because Jesus knew that you and I can never fully be saved while that schizophrenic man is still lost and wandering the streets. That salvation has everything to do with all of us. And we can't just go off and save our souls and let the city rot. Salvation has to happen to the city itself. Love must be found in the core. I don't know how to take care of my homeless friend, but I know that so long as he is lost, Christ continues to be crucified here in the city. And so love propels me, and I know it propels you here, where it's not easy. And I would be nowhere else. I would be nowhere else. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. We're so glad you're here. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to hold your hand up so they can see you and find you. And welcome, welcome. Keep it up, sweetheart. We're so glad you're here today, all of you. We had a beautiful procession into the heart of the city today at 10 o'clock with love at the core on many t-shirts, which is our new tagline. So glad you all are here with us today. I don't think that it's a coincidence that Palm Sunday has fallen on the same weekend as One Spark. And I have such great hopes that maybe this is the beginning of new things for our city of Jacksonville. This is the last Sunday to sign up for our parish retreat. Every year, members of our parish go on retreat at Camp Weed, and they really get to know one another and have a fun time. That's April the 25th through the 27th. Father Aaron and Penny Weedy will be teaching about Sabbath rest, something that we all need to learn about. So please see your bulletin for more details and turn in your registration forms to Sue Ingeman if you can today. Palm Sunday marks the beginning of the holiest season of the Christian year, which is called Holy Week. On the back of your bulletin, you will see a beautiful schedule of all of the services that are offered here at the cathedral. I encourage you to walk through the Passion itself to get to Easter. It's easy to just come on Palm Sunday and then come on Easter, but you miss the richness of what Christ went through on the way to the cross. So consider coming to some of these magnificent services this week. Remember that on Holy Saturday, we would love to have you join us as we decorate and make this place beautiful. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life for us, and all he asks is that you give of your resources back to him to help this church and to help the needy in this city. It is more blessed, he said, to give than to receive.
Thank you.
give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days, you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him, you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him, you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Now let us send forth our lay Eucharistic minister who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth, bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread and one cup. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.